Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Metal Shop right now. I'm talking with Armored Saint, a couple members. We got John Bush, Joey Vera on the bus right now. They're going to be playing in Seattle tomorrow, Sunday, March 31st, with hometown heroes Queensryche at the Neptune Woo! Theater in the U District. First off, welcome to Metal Shop. How you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Absolutely. Where are you guys right now? Are you guys stopped at like a Walmart parking lot or something?
Not yet. Soon.
Yeah, right. We got to stock up. We're only at day two here of the tour. Okay. So
nice.
We're in Sacramento tonight.
Right on, man. So I had to ask, man, from what I saw on in a little bit of an article on like Loudwire, said you guys are working on a new album and kind of pausing on that to go on this tour. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty right. Pretty correct. We've been writing for the past 6 months or so, maybe a year. I don't know. I can't remember when we started, but we got about 6-7 songs pretty much demoed and we're still working. But you're right. We did put this on pause to come out and do this amazing tour with Queensryche. Other than that, we did record a new single, which is just a sort of a standalone single that we're releasing digitally. It's coming out in June on Metal Blade.
Nice.
We did a cover version for fun. We did a cover version of a old Four Tops tune. Really? We also took a video for it. So both those things are coming out in June. So it's sort of like new music coming from us. Song came out killer and we're super stoked on it. Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome. Four Top going back to old school. That's cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, we grew up on a lot of R&B and soul music. And as much as we used to listen to Kiss Alive and, you know, Thin Lizzy, Jailbreak, we were also listening to Earth, Wind & Fire and the Commodores when we were really getting into music in the junior high years. So that's always had a lot of impact on us as a group and our style and, you know, we love that kind of stuff. So it's a natural fit.
Do you guys ever listen to Art LeBeau's radio show where he'd play all the old school stuff?
Art LeBeau, dude, that is so old school. You know, that's where all the homeboys and the cholos is.
Yep.
Oh, back in the day.
Lowrider music.
K-Earth in Southern California. Yep. That was a big show.
Damn.
He probably played it.
I'm sure he did.
That's amazing. Okay, so I have to ask, since Queensryche is, you know, hometown band, they're coming back. A lot of people they're probably going to have a lot of family there, like kind of in the building for that. Thinking back, when was the first time you guys met Queensryche or the first time you saw Queensryche? Do you guys remember?
Well, that's a good question. I think the first time I actually physically met them. Well, I did. I used to write an article in the during the mid 80s. I used to be a writer. I had a little column at the end of Circus Magazine back in the day.
Yes, that's awesome.
Read magazines. And I did a little bass column, and I could choose whoever I wanted to write a column on. And
that's cool.
So Eddie was, you know, he was a kind of a contemporary guy at the time. They were coming up the same time we were, and I was a fan. So I reached out to him and I said, I want to do a thing on you. So I went and met him. They came and played in LA, and I guess, and I went and sat, we had whatever, coffee or something. And we just talked bass for a while. And that was the first time I met Eddie. And ever since, we've just been great friends, you know, and it just translated over the years. You know, I don't think we actually played with them until kind of in the 2000s. It was recently. We did those dates in Europe.
Yeah.
It was the first time.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah.
And this was around 14 or 15,
right,
16,
right.
I don't know, somewhere around there. And that was the first time we actually did dates with them. But, you know, we always kept in touch with them through the years. There's a funny story. When we were in Seattle on tour in 87 or 9, I forget. And we were playing Seattle. And then that same night, Kiss was playing with Anthrax.
Right. I was going to bring that up, actually. And they were there.
A couple of guys were there. Yeah. Eddie was there. And so we went to the show and, you know, hey, you know, just said hi to all the buddies and we're hanging out. Whatever. Everybody was backstage. We all knew each other, the Anthrax guys included. And Eddie goes, yeah, man, we just finished recording our new record. Do you want to come hear it? So he grabbed Joey Belladonna, me and Gonzo, and we went down to the parking lot at this arena. And we went down to the parking lot and we sat in Eddie's car and he blasted, which was later becoming Mind Crime. Oh, and so this is the first time we hadn't even out yet. It was not even out yet. And Gonzo and I were just like, holy crap. This sounded amazing. We were blown away. Like, it was, I'll never forget that moment. It was cool.
I think we were on tour with Ted Nugent.
That sounds right.
We played the Paramount Theater. Is that a place that used to be?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Seattle, that we played there with Ted Nugent. So it was, we have a distinct memory of those couple days and that night.
Yeah.
Obviously, Joey does. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you telling me that you were on tour, like two huge rock shows were competing for an audience at one night, man?
Well, no, they were the next night.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's still even too close.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
Yeah. They were a day apart for sure.
That would be a fun little vacation for a rock fan back in the day to go to those two shows back to back. That's huge.
That's cool.
That's awesome, man.
Ted Nugent open for Kiss at Anaheim Stadium. there is a correlation, of course. And, you know, obviously, there is with Anthrax in the list.
Absolutely.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
So Ted Nugent, a polarizing figure to some, what was it like touring with him? Did you guys get to bro down with Ted at all? Or is he, what's he like?
We cool. Bro down with Ted. He was cool. He was always positive with us.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. And
We didn't talk politics.
No, that was way pre-politics.
It was way before all that.
Well, who was playing in the band with him at the time? It was Derek
Singh Holmes was there.
And he was just awesome. Such a rad singer.
He was a great guy, too.
A really great guy. And the tour was Little Miss Dangerous, which was
not our favorite.
No. But he played Stranglehold every night and all the classics. And it was awesome.
Nice. Yeah. So I was curious about, with, you know, bands that have been around a while, it would be easy for you guys to just rest on your laurels, play the hits, you know, but you guys are out there and you guys are putting in work to, you know, progress and write more music. And, you know, what keeps you guys motivated to like keep churning out rad albums?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think we just want it. You know, we always push ourselves as a band and as writers to just kind of feel like there's no limits. You know, Armored Saints is a funny band because, like, in the 80s, we always think that, or at least I say a lot, that we almost had like a inferiority complex, because when there was two big scenes that were blowing up, the hair metal scene, of course, and then there's the thrash scene, we never really fit in either one right correctly. You know, we certainly could play with both bands of both genres and it would work. And we did growing up in LA, playing with bands like, you know, Rat and Great White. And then inevitably we played with bands like Death Angel and, you know, obviously the Anthrax thing and Megadeth, Metallica, needless to say. Of course, we play the more theater of Metallica. So, you know, it worked, but we still were never like part of either scene. And I think that sometimes was a struggle for us for a while until we finally just probably had so much frustration and we got dropped from a record company, Chrysalis, in like 1988, 89. And at that point, we also found out that Dave Pritchard had leukemia. And so we were like, at that point, we're just so uncertain about our future that we just said, you know what, we're just going to write songs and not really care about what it is and how we fit in or any of that. It was a real rebellion to the future of what was at stake. And I think that's what really kind of set the tone for us saying we can do anything because we're going to do it and we don't care. And not everything is going to connect. Some things may not, but it is this philosophy that we really embedded in our minds at that time, and we've gone with that philosophy since. And I think it makes us sound like we make really fresh music that sounds old school at the same time, and that's not an easy thing to do, actually. So
you're not like, you don't when you get that freedom, you don't have like some suit being like, we need a radio single, we need an Armored Saint radio single, and you're like, it's not really our vibe, right?
Yeah.
Well, that never worked in the past.
Yeah.
In 1984, 85, it really didn't work. I mean, a little bit for Can You Deliver, but, you know, so, like, usually doing that is the kiss of death. That's, like, the worst thing you can do is, like, let's write a song for the radio.
Yeah. And by the same token, we don't have that expectation to go the other way, like, to be, you know, we have to write the heaviest record on the planet, and we have to keep up with the Joneses, with the speed or the thrash or the technical prowess or whatever. So we don't have that pressure either. So we truly have a freedom that you just said, that's a good way to put it, that we just can pretty much try to express ourselves any honest way that we choose. So that's what we're doing.
And the irony of it all is that, like, Punching the Sky, our last record, sounded so amazing. And there were so many songs that I always tell Joey, I was like, dude, if this was 1978, this would be all over the radio. It just sounds like it, you know? So the bottom line is the music, inevitably it does sound like it's very current and very digestible, but not in a way where it sounds forced. It's just natural.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then all these years later, you realize that they loved you for being you all along. They wanted Armored Saint to be Armored Saint. And so once you got comfortable in your own skin, you're like, let's just go, man. That's amazing.
It only took 40 years,
there's a lot of truth in that. And it really took a long time for us to really swallow that, you know. And totally. I'm going to say as recent as 2009 or 10, when we were writing La Raza, it was the first time we said, you know what? We're just on our own island, and like everyone else, all our fans know it, and that's why they like us. So here we are.
That's awesome, man. So the music, obviously, you know, you kind of just talked about it, about the, you know, this would be all over rock radio in the 70s. Things have changed a lot for, you know, streaming and everything with the landscape of music. Do you have any advice for bands for, you know, musicians who might be trying to get their footing in the music world about adapting, anything to like stay relevant in like a always changing? Do you have any advice for anyone?
Wow. Well, That's tough. There's no real magic bullet that I'm aware of, but
we've tried.
Yeah. But I would just say, like, and I hate, I don't want to sound trite or anything, but it's, you just got to be honest with yourself and what you believe in, and just don't look around you. Don't look over your shoulder. Just do what means a lot to you, and you'll be successful. I mean, that's, to me, that's what being successful is just being true to what you really want to express. Not about the, you know, not about accolades or money or any of that stuff. It's more about pleasing what, you know, pleasing what you want to choose to do and doing it.
We had a manager back in the day, Cliff Bernstein, who was Q Prime, is a management company to this day, who's massive, managed Metallica, longer than many. He used to manage Queens, right? And Cliff, he, our, the manager, sometimes he gave us some advice that we could run with, and he said, it's almost like you got to be a horse race, or a horse from a horse race with blinders. And so you can't look to the side. You're just looking forward and going, because when you start doing that is when the uncertainties kick in. And I think that was some pretty solid advice.
Yep.
So, and plus listen to lots of music. Listen to all kinds of stuff. You know, don't just go, I love metal, and so I'm going to play metal. And it's like, no, man, listen to like jazz and R&B and, you know, whatever, country, you know, just classical, really just branch out. There's a lot of great rock bands from different genres. Don't just get caught up in like, you know, I want to be a ripper, so I'm going to listen to, you know, those bands. You know, you got to branch out.
Yeah.
It helps.
Well, on that, you know, what's a band, an artist, a musician that you love that people might be surprised that guys from Armored Saint love?
Go ahead, Joe. What do you
have? Wow. Shoot. That's a good question.
I really like Leon Bridges. He's like a soul singer now, and he's really just has this kind of old school voice. And I, like I said, always like those kind of singers. And he sounds like a throwback, but he's a young guy, and he's just got like this velvet sound. And it's R&B, and it's, you know, the kind of stuff you want to get romantic with your lady with. It's not, you know, Motorhead.
So. Throwing bows in the mosh pit. It's making some love. Yeah, I like it.
I guess I would, there's a lot of people come to mind, but when someone comes to mind is I really love, like, in the last 10 years or so, I just really started to soak in lots of blues, and all kinds of blues, so not just what you think of, like, not Muddy Waters blues, but I would include that, Muddy Waters, of course, but lots and lots of blues. And John actually turned me on to Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to let him soak into my, you know, blues world. But now that I have, he's like a guy who's, I see as like a modern guy who's not churning out just traditional blues, but he's putting it in a way where it's really modern and fresh.
Yeah.
And his lyrics are great, and his grooves and his vibe and his soul, his voice, his playing, it's the whole picture. And so he kind of comes to mind as someone that I really look up to and inspired by. Yeah.
Well, Joey, I'll give you a suggestion. If you haven't heard him yet, you should check out a musician from Seattle named Aaron Jones. He's a guitarist. He's big in rock, radio and stuff, but he is along the lines of Gary Clark Jr., has a lot of soul.
He had a single that was pretty big on rock radio. What was the name of that song again?
Blood in the Water. There it is.
Blood in the water. That's it. Blood in the Water.
Take Me Away, too. Yeah, those are big singles. So, yeah. Anyways, thinking back to, you know, your first love, when you first fell in love with music, what was the first band that really did it for you, that like made you fall in love with rock music? And you know, might not have even been like heavy metal at the time, but as a little kid, what made you fall in love with rock? Was it Kiss?
It's everybody's, right?
Yeah. Rock. Rock. I'm trying to find, I can't think of the timeline, but it's all sort of together. Kiss, Queen was a big one.
Yeah.
Aerosmith was up there.
Yeah. Zeppelin, of course.
Zeppelin. It was weird though, because like Zeppelin and Sabbath, I didn't really appreciate them until later. Like, so it was like I sort of viewed like Kiss and Aerosmith, even Aerosmith is not a new band at that point, but But like they were the ones that I kind of gravitated first. Kiss, Aerosmith, Queen was a big, huge band for all of us.
Yeah.
So those would be my first, as far as rock goes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we used to love the Sweet, you know, they were such a really cool day. And UFO, of course, was a huge, I mean, that came, of course, a little later.
For sure. Look.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
there
that's awesome.
There you go. On cue. Yeah, you know, just all those great bands. And then there's a lot of writers and people like Elton John and, you know, Chicago was a really killer band. Any of those like bands, you know, from that 70s. The 70s to me is, you know, that's what we grew up. That's what kind of, you know, that's when we really discovered a lot of music.
I was
kind of like the 70s is almost like, it's of course everyone loves the 70s, but yet it kind of lives in the shadow of the 60s, and it just blows the 60s away.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. But anyways, I know it's just fun.
Some great bands, man, and you named a bunch of them. Slade, you know, a lot, all kinds of stuff. So along those lines, you know, being able to play, you know, in the decades that Armored Saint has played, you must have come across so many bands that you thought were awesome, but maybe were overlooked or kind of just didn't stand the test of time. Is there anything that comes to mind when I'm like overlooked bands or underappreciated bands, things that you have a soft spot for, but people might not know?
That's funny.
Well, that's tough.
Well, the Riot Fire Down Under record probably goes to mind. I mean, everyone knows it who was in the know.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was like one of the coolest, you know, hard rock, heavy metal records of that time. And it just should have been really big.
That's true.
Thin Lizzy. I mean, even though Thin Lizzy was a big band to some people and some people of mine,
that's true.
In Europe, they were way bigger, and they should have been way bigger in America. And of course they had some big hits, you know, Boys Are Back in Town.
Yeah.
Should have been way bigger.
But that's a good point, because that was really, Jailbreak was probably their most popular record because of Boys Are Back in Town.
Absolutely. And they never really sustained it after
and
that.
And never really came back to that level, you know. Of course, there were internal problems going on, but but still great records after that, you know, and just didn't see the light of day really in America anyway. I mean, more modern bands, you know, I could say the same thing about King's X, you know. I'm a huge King's X fan. And I think a lot of people, like you say, in the know King's X. If you're a musician, you know King's X.
Right.
But I don't think that there's enough general public that knows King's X that they should.
I agree completely.
Well, just a couple more questions for you guys. I'll start with you, Joey. Do you prefer studio or the stage?
Good questions.
Well, that's a really good question. Two completely different animals. Really, for me,
like a raccoon and an elephant.
So different. That's a tough one to choose. You know, I thrive in both of them. I thrive in the studio. And I think it's just because of I have a big curiosity of problem solving. And I sort of see the recording process as a problem solving thing, where you have ideas in your head, the way things should sound. And getting there is the journey. Getting there is the big, you know, the big to do. And it's an effort, and it's sometimes difficult, but I love the challenge of that. So I thrive in that area. I love being there. Some people don't care. Some people just want to come in and play their parts in the league. They don't care about the process, but I love the process.
Nice.
And the same's true for playing live. I'm not really going to give you an answer here.
He's an amazing producer. He's produced basically the last several Armored Saint records. He's just incredible engineer and producer, and has an awesome beer. So he is tailor-made for the studio, and has his home studio in his attic at his house that we've done the vocals for the last several Saint records. And we just have a killer bonding in doing that.
John, do you have one that you prefer?
I think that what I was going to say is, I mean, I think he would agree with me, not that I'm trying to answer for him, is I think that once you do one for a while, like this tour, I was just looking at the dates, it's right up there on the bunk, and I was like, oh my God, Like, I don't think we've done a tour like this since like 1988.
Nice.
So I would say that when you're done with this, you want to go into the studio. Yep. And then once you're in the studio, yeah, once you're in the studio for a while, it's like, man, I can't wait to play this stuff live. So I think that's what it is. It's like you toss the one and then you're ready for the next.
That's cool. Thank you for telling that.
Nice. My last question for you guys is a bit unorthodox of a question, but and let's start with you, John, this time. Pick a scar on your body. Tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Okay, I'll tell you what. It won't be a scar, but it will. The wound that you could see right here, I think, yes. Head, that happened last night in Anaheim for show. I have a tendency. I'm like a, I don't know if I should say that word because it might be politically incorrect, but I won't say that word. But I'll say I can be a little too animated for myself, and I cut my head with the mic. And I knew it right away because I've done it before because I'm just rocking out. And I went, my wife was on the side of the stage. I went up, I go, am I bleeding? She goes, yeah, what happened? And I was like, I just hit myself with the mic. So it's not a scar, but it's my, well, it's a new scar.
It will be a scar in about a week.
It will. It probably will be a little bit of a scar eventually, but it's pretty funny. So there you go.
And Joey, how about you, man? Pick a scar on your body. Tell us the story.
Well, let's see. It's either between my hernia scar or the scar on my hand.
Wow.
But maybe the one on my hand's a little more interesting than my hernia.
That is funny.
If anyone's read The Dirt by the Motley Crue story, maybe they already know this story. But I was in a car accident with Tommy Lee back in the day. It was in 82, I think. And I had been friends with Tommy prior to this when I joined Armored Saint. Tommy came to see us play. We were friends back then. We played a club and a ski lodge in Mount Baldy or something weird.
Weird place.
And we were going to a party. I went with Tommy and his sister and another friend. And the car crashed. He lost control of the car. I woke up in the hospital the next day. I don't remember anything. But I have a scar to remember. And it's on my right thumb. Almost lost my thumb. It's a pretty bad scar. You can't see it, but I was out for a while. Armored Saint had a string of dates that we had to cancel because I couldn't play bass. I also have a scar on my head from that, but the one on my finger is a little more aggressive looking.
It's metal.
But that's the Reader's Digest version of the scar.
And in The Dirt, not that I want to, you know, give them any grief, but it's incorrect. It's the story is not right, and it's Vince telling the story, and he was on a motorcycle, and it's like, dude, didn't anyone proofread this because it's not true,
right?
So, but maybe they don't remember.
Yeah,
it wasn't a motorcycle; it was a Datsun 280Z. If you remember those cars.
Oh yeah, I might have one of those. Guys, again, Sunday, they're coming with Queensryche, and that's going to be at the Neptune in the U District. Tickets available. Metal Shop presents this show. So any final words for the Northwest audience before the gig?
We're psyched to play. The last time we played Seattle was with Queensryche, I think 2016, but it was a long time ago now, going on 8 years. And like I said, we've had some great shows over through the years. Going back to the Moor, played there with Metallica, played there with Suicidal Tendencies. We played the old arena in Seattle before Key Arena with Alice Cooper on a New Year's, I think going into 1988. So we have a lot of memories of Seattle, and we look forward to making some new ones.
Yeah.
Long history with KISW, I'm sure. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for everything. Support's amazing. So really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Totally.
Absolutely, guys. All right. Have a good one, and I'll see you Sunday, guys.
That's right, great. We'll see you there, brother. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah,
thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.